Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There's no God like Jehovah. Praise the Lord. Do you really believe that? Eh? Are you sure you believe that? You know the believing is in the actions. Not in the confession. There is no God like our God. The believing is in the what? Glory to God. In how you magnify Him. I've believed the lie that you're too small to help us. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 7. It says, you know, interesting things have been happening in the world in the past 2 weeks. You know, sometimes I look back there a bit to see what those people are doing. And they are talking big. You know, talking big, big, big. There are those chaps at the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland. And the future is being built by us. We do not just see the future. The future is not... You know, one thing I find so funny is in all the things that were happening, there are a number of things happening. First of all, there was what they call the World Health Organization Pandemic Treaty. You heard about that? You didn't. Which was giving powers to World Health Organization to infringe on any country if they declare there is a pandemic. Now, it is no longer subject to the sovereign laws of that country. The countries sign away their sovereignty in case of a pandemic. And guess who has the right to declare what is a pandemic? World Health Organization. So that was supposed to be the first step, the very, very first step towards the actualization in the way they see it of the one world government. Because they have been building it from corporations to world bodies, and then eventually, now they are actualizing it. And they were saying that they want to come up with that treaty where, once they say there is a pandemic, there's nothing your president or your parliament or anybody can do. They come and overrun the country in the interest of the world, you know? But of course, it came up against a lot of criticism. The first place that happened, of course, there was some Republican senator in America who passed a law and said that their president cannot sign away their rights unless he has 2/3 of Congress or joint Congress. That is Congress and Senate. So in other words, making it very difficult for them to do that. Because you see the whole persuasion of now there is a pandemic, now let's do this, let's do that. All the things they do to have to give money to our leaders to impose lockdowns. Now they don't have to do that. If they sign away your sovereignty, that means everything is gone. Once they declare there is a pandemic, all the world is under them. And guess who World Health Organization is under? It's under China. So now, the world and that dark part of the world is looking so much towards imposing the things that China has been imposing all along. Now, previously, they were saying China is, you know, human rights and so on. But now, actually, all of them are pushing the World Economic Forum. And now, still in the last 2 weeks, they signed a treaty with the United Nations to expedite Agenda 2030. Agenda 2030 is basically where you're stripped of all your rights and you have absolutely nothing left. Now, you see, China is the leader of that world. Even America follows China in that world. Because you see the scripture. The scripture says in Revelation 13 and verse 1. It says that I saw. We'll come back to Hebrews. I stood on the sand of the sea and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and on his horns. 10 crowns and on his heads. A blasphemous name. Verse 2. And it says. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear. And his mouth like the mouth of a lion. And the dragon China gave him his power. Now, all the power of that world, of the beastly world, actually comes from the dragon, which you know. Of course, the dragon is a symbol of the devil. It's the devil, actually, himself. But also, there is a country which has a symbol of dragon, which is China. Now, all of them are looking towards China. What China does, a social credit system, they impose. The kind of dictatorial surveillance that China has been known for, they are now looking to impose. And they actually now say it that China is the model. Now, the people who once said human rights and what I was hearing some of their conversations there, and they're saying, I think it is time for us to rethink this whole human rights. And they're saying, what? That's not coming from Africa. That is coming from the people who once were paragons of human rights defenders. But now, you have to understand that where the devil is, there are no human rights. Okay? They deceived you. The one thing that God gave, which he cannot take back, is free will. That's now the. So God, everything that he does is dependent on your free will. He cannot force you to do something. He has to persuade you. He has to, you know, basically cajole you, some of you, push you and do all sorts of things. Okay? And that's the whole symbol of free will, where he puts a tree right there and tells them don't eat of it. But he does not put a fence around it. He could have. It's right there. And imagine where he's seeing, and he's seeing Adam going after Eve has tempted him. And he says, Adam, I'm going to eat the fruit. And he knows you are going to mess yourselves up. He knows exactly what's going to come out of that. But still, he has to wait for Adam to make his free will. There is nothing he can do because he gave man free will. Now, on the other hand, the devil, the one thing he wants to take away is free will. That's why everything they are doing is to take away people's will. Now they were saying in those same fora that they are producing pills. I'm sure you must have seen that video. We are producing pills which have a chip, like a capsule with a microchip inside, that to make when you swallow it and it is ingested in your body, it sends signals to them that you actually swallowed the medicine. Then and that was the head of Pfizer. And now you see they are talking openly. And then he said that imagine the compliance where you cannot cheat people. You've seen in the movies where people put medicine under the tank and they even swallow. Then as soon as the nurse goes, he spits it out. No, here the chip. There's a chip inside you and it tells them that it has now been ingested in your tummy. And they are speaking that at the World Economic Forum freely and there are people there clapping. But you see, the purpose of all that is, of everything the devil does, is to use institutions which he has created, is to use systems to take away man's free will. Okay? Vaccination is free, but you cannot travel without it, you cannot work without it, you cannot do what? Now, that's the devil's way of doing things. Eh? Like, where it is, you may or may not, but these are the consequences of not doing it. Then, after that, they even take away the may or may not. They say, you have to do it. And then everything points towards increasingly, and I can see the authoritarianism on them. Like, they really don't want people to have. Then they said, this democracy. We have to also rethink the concept of democracy. Then another one of them said that you people are still complaining about surveillance. You know this surveillance where there are cameras all over you. He said, no, now we want to take surveillance under the skin. It's not just enough for us to know where you stay, what you eat, what you want, where you're moving to, and who is coming to your house, and whose house you're going to. No, that's not enough. We even want to know what you're thinking. Now, that is Agenda 2030. It's purely Antichrist. And now they've been speaking with a lot of authority. And now if you actually do not know, you know, let me tell you this. The reality is, until you know that their master was paraded on like this, tied up, you would think that they have power, but they don't. You understand? Because they are serving the devil. And now when I look at them, I look at losers. Because I know whom I serve and I know whom they serve. You understand? Now, and I know for sure none of those plans are. I enjoy listening to them talking about it. Because you know these people, when they talk, they proclaim as if all power belongs to them. And then they have their countries there where they have world leaders. They say something, they have their experimental countries, Australia, New Zealand, Canada, where they are authoritarian. You think you've seen authoritarians? You go to Canada. Real authoritarian. The things the Canadian Prime Minister does to those people, I can assure you, your president here cannot do them without shame. The real authoritarianism is there, where you cannot even contribute $5 to truckers who are protesting against COVID restrictions because they trace the money and they come and close your account. Where, like, the sort of things that happens there, a pastor goes and he says, I'm not breaking any rules. They say, close your church, close your church. And the man first quarreled and did what? They came and carried him. You know those things? Like, zero tolerance for anything good. Now, we can never reach there. You know, let me tell you this. There's a time I was very disappointed because the minute I saw that Trump had lost, okay, he had been lost. You understand? I now realize the kind of dark world there was going to be, because without the concept of America, I mean, without the permission of America, there's no way they can do that. But now they got an old bumbling fool with half a brain in the White House. Now they make him do whatever they want. Okay? They make him do whatever they want. And so, now finally America is there with them. A few senators might complain. But here is the thing. Those people there who stand there and talk. For me now, I see them as comedy. You know the time of us standing like David is now. Okay? Where in the natural, you have no chance against this Goliath. You understand? But you know you're not in the natural. Okay? Where you stand and say, you come to me in the names of your gods, but I come to you in the name of Jehovah, whose armies you have defied this day. And you present a scenario there where it is not a battle of you and somebody, it is a battle of his God and your God. Amen? And there can only be one winner there, isn't it? And now all these people here, they have gods. Don't think they are there. There is an agenda from hell which they are pushing. Now when they realize that there is a way they had done their things, planned their things, didn't work out, now they went in full speed. Because previously they intended to do things in a subtle way. Subtle way, you wake up in the morning. You know the story of how to cook a frog? But now they said, no, we have no time for what? Taking our time cooking the frog. We are just going to lock the frog in the what? In the pot and turn on the fire. So now, now they are talking big. By the way, you know, I spent some days listening to them. And I was saying, man, these guys now, there's one small video here which I want you to listen to. Especially listen to, it's not clear, but I just want you to listen to the words. You listen to this guy. I found him so interesting. This is comedy, by the way. Don't be frightened by this. Go start from the beginning.
And COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under their skin. What we have seen so far, it's corporations and governments collecting data about where we go, who we meet, what movies we watch. The next phase is the surveillance going under our skin. We now see mass surveillance systems established even in democratic countries, which previously rejected them. And we also see a change in the nature of surveillance. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin. Governments want to know not just where we go or who we meet. Above all, they want to know what is happening under our skin. What's our body temperature? What's our blood pressure? What is our medical condition? Now humans are developing even bigger powers than ever before. We are really acquiring divine powers of creation and destruction. We are really upgrading humans into gods. We are acquiring, for instance, the power to re-engineer life. Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, they have this soul or spirit and they have free will and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over. I mean, all this story about Jesus rising from the dead and being the Son of God, this is fake news.
I know that in recent years, we saw populist politicians undermining deliberately the trust that people have in important institutions like universities, like respectable media outlets. These populist politicians told people that, say, scientists are this small elite.
Okay, that's it. So as far as they are concerned, we are following fake news. But we shall see who is following fake news. Let me tell you something. These guys that we are becoming gods, we are what? You know what the Bible says? They will believe the great delusion. That's it. Actually, the delusion is when men start thinking that they have absolutely divine powers. Okay? Which is actually the original temptation of the devil. If you eat of the fruit, you become like God. The devil has never changed. Can you imagine all these eons later? It's the same thing he's telling men. That if you do this, you become like God. Eat the fruit and you become like God. But then Adam and Eve were already like God. Isn't it? But he says there's something as if God is hiding something. This is now. This is where you're going to corner God. And you'll be like him. Because also him, that's how he fell. Remember what it says? He wanted what God had. He felt he deserved everything God had. And that was his fall. And now he sells the same thing to human beings all through history. Actually, all through history, that's what he sells people. That you can be like God. So that means you don't have to believe God. Now, then he takes away that element of, you know, of human worship for God. Now, I was telling you that I was a bit disappointed when Trump failed. But then I realized that it's not supposed to start in America. It's supposed to start here in Uganda. I'm telling you, the whole element of now turning all this back actually is supposed to start in Uganda. According to, you know, the word of God. So, but because we had this inferiority complex, we think it's supposed to start there. But no, God actually does not want it to start from there. Because there are some people who think that it has to start from there. Because it's America. No, it's not. Praise the Lord. Now, but these guys, but... Like, I really, really enjoy listening to them. Okay, don't go and listen to them. Some of you, they might confuse your head. But my point is, like, I don't consider these guys... Like, imagine a human being. A human being. Here today, gone tomorrow. And he's talking that day is over. That period where you had free will and what is over. Says who? Says a clown like him. Now, you see why I tell you, don't listen to them. You deal with the devil, their master. Because that's the one you have your head on his neck. Now they are worshipping somebody whose neck is under your feet. You understand? Eh? And now, without the devil, they wouldn't be saying all these things. But he has lied them into believing he's something. But now for us, we know he's nothing. Okay? We know he's what? Now, but you see also, God expects us to actually... That thing I told you the other time. That the manifold wisdom of God might be... made manifest to the principalities. When the wisdom of God in sending Jesus to come and hand over his victory to you, that wisdom is made manifest by you. But how? By standing up and speaking. You see, they proclaim because they hope, they are hoping that people will flee. It's the same scenario with Goliath. He comes out, see you. From amidst the Philistine army and says, you servants of Saul, is there anybody who wants to fight me? Then they all take off. You understand? Until he meets you. Then you say, yes, I want to fight with you. Because you see, they proclaim thinking they are counting on a certain kind of church who are going to, you know. But you see, they proclaim, we proclaim. If you keep quiet, it's a different thing. But now if he proclaims and I proclaim, then the spirit that is in me is at war with the spirit that is in him. And you know who the winner is going to be. So when they say it is over, I say, no, it is not over until the Lord says it's over. Amen? But what they want to do is take away free will. This thing that you have your will, you even go and decide in the ballot, nobody knows whom you are going to vote, that is over. Now they don't, they hate, the devil hates the concept of free will. He just wants to herd everybody away use some systems, use some people who is worshippers of his, who he gives power to come and bamboozle people. And then they find themselves following. And actually in countries where there is no voice. And you see, people underestimate the power of an alternative voice. In countries where there is no voice, they actually lock them up and they even start enjoying the confinement. Have you ever seen people like that? Have you ever gone into a group of suffering people? And you see they have gotten used to the suffering and they're enjoying it. And try telling them that there is what? Something different. I remember some gentleman said he was interviewing a Russian during the days of the Soviet Union. And he said that, you see, in America, everybody speaks what he wants. It's up to the people whom he's speaking to decide whether they want to believe him or not. Then the Russian man said, how do you handle society like that? That creates anarchy. People have to be told what to think. Now, you see, he has been programmed. Now, the generation thereafter is the generation, our generation, because they can use change by the children. They have already changed and children are already ready to what? To accept that sort of society. And then now they turn. But of course, we know that they proclaim, we proclaim. And we win, they lose. Amen? Hallelujah? You come and tell us your dream. This man had told me about a dream he had. And I thought it's very important for us to understand. Because you see, if we do not... see things in the spirit, the way they are in the spirit, it looks like you are kind of, you know, pushing something that is not moving. Yet actually, that's not how it is. But before you tell the dream, let me tell you this. I remember reading a story of some man who was called John Austin. Eh? Remember John Austin? The father of Joel Austin. And he said he had a small church and they had a bull roasting one day. And they were believing God for 2 cows to roast on that day. So he prayed to God for the cows. God will give us cows and what? So that we have a bull roasting on Saturday. Then he just continued, you know, believing God for it. But then as the day got close, somebody came and told him, but you know, you can actually just buy meat from the butchery. Eh? Then he said, that's a good idea, actually. So he went and bought what? But then he said, he dreamt, at night he dreamt when a big snake had swallowed 2 cows and was there and had swallowed 2 cows. And the message was clear. The cows were coming. But by believing the other thing, you handed them over to the devil. You understand? Now, things can seem a certain way and you are actually on the path to victory. But if you do not understand it, small things come and put you off and actually you hand over your victory to what? To the devil. Now, from then on, he became a man of faith. The scripture says, I asked and you'll give me. I asked, it is coming. Then somebody comes with an alternative. You say, no, it is coming. And then eventually it comes. And then eventually you get used to the faith thing. And then eventually you know it is coming. You're no longer, you know faith. Eh? You start by, I believe. But eventually it becomes natural and normal. And you start believing without even a lot of, you know, attempt at effort. Tell us what you dreamt.
Praise the Lord. My name is Alfred Obol. I'm a son of the Watchman. About 2 weeks ago, I had a dream, and in the dream, it was as though the Watchman had sent me to go and scout, you know, to check out something, but I wasn't sure what it was, but somehow I went. Now, as I moved, I found myself in a very old town. The road was Maram, a very old town. The people around it just looked like a village. So it had these old buildings like for Indians, those old buildings. So I reached the place, and then I was ushered as if I was moving with someone who ushered me into a place like a discotheque. So the voice told me, all these people are UN staffs, staffs of the UN, and they're having a party. And each staff had been assigned a prostitute, you know, to chill with, so to say. So I looked around and I'm like, but UN in a town like this, they could have chosen a better place, because in my mind, UN is a grandier thing, you know. And I'm thinking, UN to bring a party here in the middle of a village and what? And they're in this place, and again, they're with prostitutes. Aren't they ashamed that, you know, it will tarnish the name of the organization and stuff like that? So somehow I came out from that place, and I came back as if to report to Papa. And I got him. Now, the place, I remember the place because we were, you remember where we had Papa's birthday? Yes, the Serena place. And it was like out with, you know, the golf course, how it is slashed and very nice and all that. So I found him with a group of children. They could have been slightly over 10 children, and they were about this size, about maybe 8, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of age. And Papa was telling them a word that I actually woke up and I had to, the first thing I did was to Google that word. Papa was teaching them, actually. And then he said, pine conifera. And I'm thinking, so okay, in the dream, you know how you can understand something in a dream, but when you come out, you don't understand it. So in the dream, I could perceive that it has something to do with pine. But then in my mind, I'm thinking, even in the dream, I'm saying, but Papa, this is a botanical term. How is it he's teaching these young guys this very big term, which is even, you know, hard for me to grasp. Yes. And then I came out of the dream. And the first thing I did, I picked up my phone and I started, what I just typed, as Papa had said, it, pine, conifer. And then I was seeing a list of pine trees and what. Yeah, so that was the dream.
Yeah. Okay, praise the Lord. Who can tell us what the dream means? Anybody can tell us what the dream means? Vanita, come. What does the dream mean?
What I perceived from the dream, the UN part, it's kind of what you were teaching, like they portray this kind of power, but in actual sense, they've been deceived about what they are able to, their power, but in the actuality of their power, it is useless. It's on village level.
Amen. Okay, and what about the pine, for whatever? Okay. The man even who Googled does not know. Praise the Lord. Anyway, you know how dreams can be allegorical, eh? Now, in actual sense, if you are to look at things in the natural, you went in an old town, some old town in Indian buildings like Kampala Mukadde, you see, But now this one even had dusty streets and so on. And they are there and they are celebrating with prostitutes some kind of victory. Yet actually, in the spirit world, they are gone. They are like there. And then, me, I'm at Serena Chigo in a golf course. In the spirit, you understand, And of course, I'm representing something. Now, in the natural, who would you expect to be in Kampala Mukadde? It's the other way around. But in the spirit, it's the other way around. You understand? And now, those 10-year-olds, where are you? And I was telling you things which are too difficult for you to understand because you're still scared. You're still timid. You still don't believe in yourself. But I thank God I don't just say things. Okay? You see me believing things which apparently in your minds are beyond me. But in my mind, they are here. You understand? So, pine whatever. Pine what? Conifer. Now he's saying this is a very biological, powerful word. But the truth is, it's not supposed to be a powerful word to you. Amen? If you were actually intent on saying that, you know, now, this is what we are seen in the spirit. And this is how God sees us. We are the ones who are here. Those ones are the other side. You see, those dreams can be a bit, they show you things that the way things are in the spirit. Eh? And they give, you know, dreams can dramatize spiritual facts and give them a lot of words, but you just see this is an old town. Eh? And then you see some guys in a hall there dancing with the prostitutes. And they think they're on top of the world, but they're in an old town. And the person whom they say, who is supposed to be down is, you know, on a very good golf course. Amen? Now, isn't that dream encouraging? And that's why I told it to you, because things are now, you see, in the spirit, there is something different. And it presents itself different in the world. And now you think what you're seeing here is the real thing, but actually it is not. And it's just a matter of time before the real thing presents itself. And you realize actually those guys are now pursuing old things. The new things are here. Anyway, go to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial, in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Now, you see, when I listened to this scripture, I was saying that because I got a sense, I did not so much read it as listen to it in my car, and I got a sense that God was saying they did not understand my ways. You know, there's an emphasis I picked from there that these people frustrated me because I was trying to teach them my ways, but they refused. They hardened their hearts. Their hearts were full of rebellion, and so they did not understand how I do things. Now, I realize that how much, just in that moment, of course, how much it means to God that we understand his ways. Because he has his ways of doing things. Now, for the most part, of course, when you're young, you want God to understand your ways. And as long as you're a baby, he will do that for a while. But then after some time, he expects you to have gotten to a stage where now you understand his ways, not the other way around. For instance, these people, the generation is talking about the children of Israel. When they were slaves in Egypt, he did not expect them to do any act of faith. They did not have any faith. They had no experience with him. They had not witnessed him for a day. They had only witnessed slavery. So he did not expect anything from them. He just told them, sit down there, let me show you that I am God. That's the whole purpose. Okay? Because if I told you to believe me, what are you believing? You were born in slavery. You've grown up in slavery. There's nothing to believe. So he shows them that he's God. And he crushes Pharaoh. Without them participating in any way. Their only participation was slaughtering the lambs and putting blood at their doorposts. That was the only participation. But otherwise, everything was done for them because they were babies. They were slaves. But then after that, then he takes them to the Red Sea. And then he puts it in Pharaoh's heart to come and pursue. I want you to know that God is doing all this on purpose. He puts it in Pharaoh's heart to come and pursue them. Now, when Pharaoh comes with his chariots and they are scared, God also shows. Now, you see, from the one side, you can think that, why is he doing it so spectacularly like this? The reason is, he's building a precedent with them, which will be the precedent on which they are supposed to believe him thereafter. I have seen him doing this. Therefore, he's also going to do what? So he's building. So before you had nothing, you were a slave. But now he's building a profile with you, a relationship with you, so that you have a basis for faith. Then he says, no, you spend the night here. But the Egyptians are coming. Don't worry about the Egyptians. You pitch tents and sleep here. Then he puts fire between them and the Egyptians. Now he's just doing spectacular things to show these slaves that you're special. You're no longer slaves. Eh? Because he says, I carried you on my back away from Egypt. Like showing you that. So there was something he was trying to do. Then they cross the Red Sea. You know what happened. Now they cry for water. He gives them water. They do what everything they cry, you want. Now we want meat, there is meat. Now we want what, there is this. But then now in Numbers, chapter 13 and 14, now he says, now I expect you to start believing in me because you've seen enough things. You're no longer just slaves. So now go to the promised land. Then they come back with a negative report. And he says in his word, you remember the story of Caleb and Joshua. Now the only difference between Caleb and Joshua and the others, when the others say that they were sons of giants, they are not lying. The giants were there. When they say those men are mighty, they were not lying. The men were mighty. The only difference between Joshua and Caleb and the rest is they were seeing it through the lens of what God had already done for them. That's where you learn his ways. He said that if God has destroyed the Egyptians, who are these ones? Now, that's how God wants you to speak. If he provided rent last month, then he will provide this month. Okay? Like, you speak from a point of, now, you do things in a spectacular way just so that you have something to base on for faith going forward. Amen? It says, therefore, I was angry with that generation and said they always go astray in their heart. Now, what does he mean by going astray? Because, you see, God lives in the realm of faith. Everything he does is to bring you to a place of faith. That I believe God. I believe God. It's nothing. There's nothing. I believe God. Now, when you say that, you honor him by saying, I believe him. His word says this, I believe it. Now, that's how you honor God, by saying, I know you are faithful. You will do this. You cannot fail me. Then he says, now, that's my son. Eh? That's how my son. Because you're speaking from a place of faith that before I was in trouble, I called to you, you answered. Then also the other day you answered. So even here you're going to answer. Then God says, now you've understood my ways. Okay? Now you go to Numbers 14 verse 11. He says, then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? Now the interesting thing is that every time you want to go back to the other step of being a child, God says, now we've established rapport. You saw me give you water. You saw me give you manna. You saw me give you quails. You saw the Red Sea. Well, now what? Now you have to believe. Then you go and see giants. After you've seen what he did in the Red Sea, it was less than 2 years afterwards. So they all had a memory in their head of what happened at the Red Sea. Now you would think if it is you, that after that there is nothing. There is no way I can fail to believe God is going to live. After I saw what he did in the Red Sea, that is it. Now you believe. But no. If you've chosen to be a child, you'll always be a child. When you choose to mature, you mature. And maturity is saying, if he has done it before, you do it again. Okay? If he paid my school fees last semester, he's obviously going to do it again. Because I'm not going to graduate after one semester, and he knows it. And you speak with confidence and say, my God, who cleared my fees last semester? Of course, he's also going to clear this one. Because he knows that I entered university to graduate, not to end here. Now, when you speak with confidence, he might even stretch you a bit just to see how confident you are. And he does it actually to stamp you, rubber stamp you, your faith. Eh? That's why sometimes he delays and delays and delays. And now if he delays and you continue confessing, no, the fees is coming. I know my God. Then he says, yeah, now you have understood my ways. Now when it comes after that, you are never the same person. You know everything is going to come because you have an experience. You're not just talking. You understand? So, then he's here. Now where he says, how long will these people reject me? You go to Amplified Classic. In the cross-reference, actually, even for the New King James, he says, how long will these people despise me? Now he says, they despise me. After what I've done for them, they cannot simply believe that these giants, I'm also going to clear them. Which means they despise me. Now, that means they despise what he is capable of doing. And yet they shouldn't, because he has already established. Anyway, he says, and how long will it be before they believe me, trusting and relying and clinging to me, for all the signs which I have performed among them? How long? He says, now, okay, that's the end. Your chance is up. You are not going to enter the promised land. You're all going to die here, because you despised the word of God. Now, I tell you, I know this for a fact, there are certain people who are so difficult to arouse with anything of the word of God. Eh? Now, you try to tell them something about the word of God. They look at you and I see them in churches. Those are the experts at ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. They don't dispute what you're saying. I have a cousin who is like that. I tried to preach to him the gospel until I gave up. He does not argue. He says, yes. But he's, and then at the end of the day, nothing. The guy is still not. Then you tell him, but you know the Bible says, I know it says it. Yes. Then he said this, yeah. Then you said, but he frustrates you completely because he's not arguing. At least if he argued, you'd argue back. But now he's, and now I gave up on him. So every time you would come to me, because when I go to the village, of course, you'd come to ask for what? Diamond what? Eh? So I said, let me preach to this guy the gospel. He said, but you, when are you getting saved? I said, saved? Me have no problem with saved. Eh? What is it? But then he made a complete fool of me, the Muvako. But now there are some people who are like that. They will come and listen, and they don't dispute. But they are beyond, they have not yet reached the point of reaction. You understand? The word of God does not arouse in them a certain reaction. And reaction, I don't just mean saying amen. No, that's an emotional reaction. I mean a reaction which changes their lifestyle. For instance, I'll give you a kind of example. If somebody came and told you, if you want to lose weight, don't eat burgers. Then you say, yeah, man, burgers cause weight. Put cheese in mine. What? Then you said, then the person said that if you want to lose weight, don't eat this. He said, I know. Eh? I know. Then when the waiter comes, give me a cheeseburger, beef, double beef, with a bit of, you know. And then now you are not arguing, but you're not responding. Now there are people who are experts at it. I'm not, of course, this has nothing to do with burgers. Go and eat your burgers. Eh? But there are people who are... They will never, nothing. They come and listen to the word of God, but they actually never awakens something in them where they stand up and say, okay, let me go and put this to work. And now they become, let me tell you this. Of course, there are different reactions. There are reactions which are emotional. Eh? There are even non-reactions where somebody sits and looks at you. And I remember there was somebody who used to be like that when we had overnights. Eh? Never missing any. But they come and look at you. If it was now, I would think they are spies. But there were no spies those days. Because I was not worth spying on. And the guy comes and looks at you. Then finishes. And then you realize that those people, their life never moves. They stay stagnant. All day. I'm telling you, it's clear. And because God has nothing else to give you. Because his word is supposed to awaken you, and you say, now I believe this, let me go and trust God in this. And he says, now you are beginning to learn my ways. You are not like the other guys. Okay? Property, then you stand up and says, then you go and say, God, I want this house. And say, yeah, okay, you're beginning. Now you're beginning to learn my ways. Because at least you're putting something in action. Now there's emotional reaction. There's non-reaction. There's emotional reaction. But then there's response, what I call response. Now I know, for instance, I'll give you an example. And I know this for a fact. I used to be in a church. For instance, if I said now, we are tired of hiring instruments here. We need 100 million to buy our own instruments. There are people who would immediately in their minds bolt out. And they say, we know the people who usually give. Eh? And I remember I was at a church where they would say, now we want to improve the church and what? And somehow even then, although I was of small means, I would feel that I have a responsibility. Because this is my church. So responsibility means the ability to respond. Responsibility. Eh? So I would feel, and had this thing behind me that there is no way they can come and refurbish this church and what without me having an input. That's not how I am. So I settle it in my mind that however small the input, there is going to be something from me. And then we go with that. Now, if I say, as the Lord has been telling us, to improve our outreach to, you know, people whom he would want to come, dreamers, big dreamers, because they are there out there, whom he would want to come here, but we have to reach out to them. Now, if I say that, there are people who immediately say, okay, and they switch off immediately. And now that's such people, it's difficult to elicit a response from them. So regardless, God, there is nothing God can do apart from giving you his word. And now how you respond to that word determines where you are in everything. All things that we have are a response to his word. And he will pull you and stretch your faith. I remember, and I've told you this story before, of how this lady comes to me, and I've told it before, I think. but she's always having issues, money this, money that, rent, they have chased her from this house, chased her from the other house, chased her from the other house. And then I told her that, now, the only reason you are like that is because you've actually never believed God. She said, no, I believe God, but it doesn't happen. Then I said, and God is a liar. Is he? She says, no. At least you know that fact. So then, you have never actually believed him. Then I told her, now, you believe him this time. This time, don't try to help him. Believe him. Let him help himself. So she said, okay. And she swore that she was going to, you know, believe him. So her landlord came and told her, Monday at 8 p.m., if you have not paid me my money, I should find your things out. I'm leaving work at 7. By the time I drive through the jam, it will be 8. If you have not paid, I find your things out. So she went home and said, I believe God. I believe God. 6, nothing. 7, nothing. Now at around 7:30, her friend calls her and tells her that thieves broke into my house yesterday and robbed me. Says, hey, sorry to hear that. Now imagine you're believing God for money and somebody is telling you this. And it's 30 minutes to the deadline. As per the deadline, you should even start already removing your mattress and so on. But then the lady said, I remember some time ago you had brought some padlocks which you wanted to sell to me and I wasn't interested. I think after what happened last night, I want to buy those padlocks. And she said, I'm at home. The lady said, I'm going to, let me come, direct me and I come. I'm even going to jump on a border. At 8, the lady came there to buy padlocks because she had been robbed. And the amount of money of the padlocks was the same money which the landlord was coming for. Now God does those things. So that now, after that time, I promise you this. After that, I would never, ever have a problem with rent. Because if God has committed to one, he has committed to all. So does he expect you to sleep there? Now next month you go to the street? That's not the God we serve, you understand? Now after that, he expects you to believe me again. Now we have an experience. Now we have something to, you have a precedent. You have something to hold on to. So he said, God, you paid us. Because can you say that was not God? And now God does things in a spectacular way where he will know it is him. Now, if you know it is him, then you know it is going to happen again. And again, and again, and again, and again. Until you no longer need rent. Because you have your own house. And now that is a commitment of his. Can you imagine such a God? Where he says, if I commit to paying your fees one term, that is the rest until you finish studying. Now, all he wants for you to say, I believe you, God. You who paid fees last term, even this term you're going to pay. Now then he says, now you are beginning to understand my ways. You are not like the children of Israel who never understood my ways. Now that's the thing now. So if you cannot pull out some sort of response after God has done some, and now let me tell you, all of you here, none of you can say God has not done something like where you know it is God. Where you know there is no way it could have been man. And he will make sure he removes the usual people whom you usually use, because then you can say, no, this guy usually helps me. No, he will make sure somebody just shows up and does something for you out of nowhere. And then now that the purpose of all that is to build faith, not to build, like, next time you don't go crying to him. No, the time of crying is over. Now you are in faith. God, you remember last time when you paid my rent? It's also due now. Amen. And now you see, if you did that to a person, he would be offended. But if you do it to God, he says, now you are beginning to understand me. Because imagine if I pay your rent, then next month you come and say, watchman, now it's time. I would say, man, guy go. Tomanyira. But now when you do it with God, he says, now you are beginning to understand my ways. Now you know me. You know me very well. Can you imagine such a God? So now, the trouble is the whole lot of apathy of people who are not interested. These are the people who Jesus said. Remember that scripture where Jesus said that what? In Matthew chapter 11, he says that, what shall I liken this generation? to kids who say, told their friends, we played for you flutes, you did not dance. Eh? We mourned for you, you did not cry. In other words, you are impossible to arouse. Now, people who are not aroused by the word of God, don't think they are not aroused. They are aroused by something. You come and tell them there is a gold deal somewhere in Congo, you are going to go, they will jump up. Now, that's because that's where their faith is. There is something which wakes them up. Eh? But now you tell them something of God, they are not interested. They'll say, hey, yeah, hey, like my cousin. Eh? Hey, okay. Man, eh? Meanwhile, you bring tea, he takes tea, what? Eh? Then you are there wasting your words on him. Eh? And you can see he has built a hedge of protection around him from your words that they should not come through to him. And some people can be hard-hearted. And then, meanwhile, he's saying, eh, you take tea, what? Eh? Then you say, give you more tea. Yeah, bring tea. Eh? Then you're talking to him, he's busy spreading the bread. Eh? And when you look at the guy, and now you, now some people are like that. You talk to them and they're like those people in Matthew. Eh? But what shall I liken this generation? It is like the children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, we played flute for you and you did not dance. We mourned to you and you did not lament. Now that is, then later on in this next chapter, Matthew chapter 12, he tells those Pharisees who are there that the people of Nineveh will arise and in the day of judgment and condemn you because they believed at the word of Jonah. Can you imagine a big city, 120,000 people? Imagine in those days, a city of 120,000 people, which you walking from one end to the other is 3 days' journey. Okay? And Jonah just shows up in the entrance. No miracle, nothing. He has not made any blind person see nothing. He just says, 40 days and Nineveh is going to be destroyed. And the whole city calls a fast. Then the word gets to the king. And the king would have said, arrest that scoundrel who is here disturbing our peace. But you know what the king did? The king got off his throne and put on sackcloth. And said, let everybody, animals, what, everybody fast and pray that God might take this thing away from us. And now, let me tell you this. If God can still get any response from you, he can never destroy you, even in the Old Testament. He only destroys people from whom he cannot get any response. He will try to give you a response. Do something like Nineveh. You see, eh? As soon as they repent, he says, yes, I did. Because he does not want to destroy. It's the hardest thing for him. So he wants you to respond. Now, when you respond like that, he says, yes. Now, happily, eh? Not bring it upon you. Now, then he says, but here, now Jesus is telling the Pharisees, here you've seen mighty miracles. You've seen the dead risen. But you cannot respond. Then he says, those people of Nineveh will come and judge you, rise up against you on the day of judgment, and they will condemn you. Because for them, just at the word of Jonah, they repented. But now for you, you can't. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And indeed, a greater than Jonah is here. A greater than Jonah who does signs. Jonah did not do any sign. People just believed his word. Can you believe such a city who were so in wickedness and so wicked? But when they heard the words of Jonah, they changed immediately. And you know, because of that, they were spared another 120 years. But after 120 years, people who did not know about that came up, another king came up, and they went straight back into their wickedness. And now this time God came and destroyed the city of Nineveh. But as long as you can, even in the Old Testament, as long as anybody could get, God could get a response from you, change this and what? As long as you respond, he says, hey, okay, I will not. Remember, there was even the Philistines who had taken the Ark of the Covenant. And they took it, and they stole it away from Israel. Then they took it to their cities. And when they reached there, they put it in the temple of their god, Dagon. And in the morning, they find their god lying down flat before the Ark of the Covenant. Then they put who did this? Then they put him back up. Then the next morning, they find him down. Then God causes boils to start breaking out on their bodies. Then they are getting boils. Then they consult and they say, it must be the ark of the God of Israel. Then do you know what those men did? Those men went and inquired and said, how do we take this ark back to those people? Because it has become a problem for us. And so they told them, this is how you take it back. And they respected all the protocol around the ark, and they sent it back to what? To Israel. And God removed the boils. All he wanted was a reaction. All he wanted was what? But now there are people even in church who don't react. Powerful words are told, you don't react, you just stay there and listen. And listen, 1 year goes, another year goes, the third year goes, and nothing. You've not done anything about powerful words. You have a dream where God wants a reaction from you. You dream about something. You know what it means. But you just wake up and walk your way. And get be like my cousin, get bread. And mugati gwa butter. And what? And put spread on and take your tea. And you're so unmoved. Do you know there are people who come and tell you a dream? And it is so powerful. Then you tell him, then he comes and says, I dreamt this and this. And they say, yes, what do you think it means? Then he even tells you the meaning and he kind of knows it. Then you see that nothing has changed. He forgot it. He left it behind there. It's in the past. And now those people, God is not even, like, they would struggle to hear his voice. Okay? Or to follow him any other way. So he comes in the way of dreams because it's the easiest for him to get to you. But he still gets to you and no reaction. Then after 3 years, you wonder, but why is it God moving? What do you want him to do? He has tried to elicit some kind of response from you and you've refused. Now I'll tell you, in that church where they would say that we want to do what? To do something. And there would be people who are, you know immediately there are some people who are like, hey, okay, we know the people who give Kableta, goodie. They even know them in their head. Then they even know, they put you on the what? On the financial committee. Because they know you're the one who is going to give. Now, those people who don't give and who are not drawn into anything that is beyond them, and any plot, anything, they think they are sharp. But in only 1 to 3 years, they stay where they are. The people who are responding are in a different place. You think any of those people would say, Kableta has as much money as I do now? They don't. Because God favors Kableta? No. I decided I would respond. I would have dreams, get them, write them down, meditate on them. Now, response does not mean you have to go and do something. Some dreams are for a time ahead. But it is sometimes supposed to just get you to be in a place of faith. Okay? Now, some of the things we do now, we dreamt about 8 years ago. And you just get the dream, keep hold of it, and believe it. And always have it in mind that there's this dream, which God, this is where I'm heading. And you keep it in mind. That's response. And be in faith. That's response. I believe God that I'm going to be here because you showed it to me in a dream. That is response. And that's the kind of response that, you know. Some dreams require immediate action. Some do not require immediate action. They just require. Just know that God does not do anything idly. Anything he tells you is with a purpose, for a purpose. There is something behind it. He does not just have things to share. Kabozi, Ruari. Of course, you can converse with God and what. But everything, even the things he tells you, will be in line with something which you have to do. You understand? Praise the Lord. Now, if you are not called to be in a certain place, he will not tell you things in that place. Because they would be idle for you. They wouldn't be of any purpose. But now, he will tell you things which even seem to be kabozi, but directing you in one direction. Now, if you cannot respond, he's powerless. Maybe you end up in the other place where they don't require a response. They will come and force you to take medicine. And then the chip inside you will do what? Will tell them that now the medicine has reached the small intestine. Now it is going. Now it has reached the large intestine. Now it's about to go to the toilet. Because the chip is, can you, now, but God is limited by, okay, not limited, but by us. He is limited by us. But by our cooperation. You cooperate with him. Amen? Now, I'll tell you this. I have a dream. I wake up. I pray in tongues until I'm sure what it means. And then I know if it's for the future, if it is for now. I don't take those things lightly. Otherwise, I wouldn't be where I am. Amen? If I wake up and I also go for bread, after 1, 2, 3, 4 days, you've forgotten the dream. That's how the mind works. And you've missed an opportunity. And then you wonder why people seem to be soaring and soaring and soaring. And for you, you're not going anywhere. But God is there trying. Let me tell you something. In this end time, as I end, everybody who has the ability to be awakened, to be aroused, to be moved into action by God is going to be powerful against these jokers whom we saw here. Amen? Because at least respond. Anybody, as long as you just put yourself in a place and say, now God, I am ready. I'm ready to I'll respond. I know in the past I have been a bit difficult to awaken. Because I'm pursuing something. Then you wake up and God is showing you another direction, but you think he's wasting your time because there is this one you're pursuing. But now you say, okay, God, maybe I was like that in the past, but now I am not going to be like that. If I know there is a message for me, messages come in different ways. They come through impressions. They come through dreams. They come through a word from the Lord. Okay? And now these are going to be, even the words, specific words from the Lord are going to be very frequent. They come through intuitions, into knowings, things which you know, which you perceive, that this is going to end up like this and like this. And you know it. But you don't say God told me, but you know it. And by that's one of the most powerful things, where you look at something and you know it. And you just know it, and you don't even know how you knew it. And that's the thing of Paul saying that I perceive that this journey is going to end in a lot of damage. He did not say God told me. And yet God could have told him. But God didn't. He just perceived and said, this thing where we are going, it's going to be sad. People, listen to me. Let's not set sail. Let's stay here. But then they don't listen to him. He just perceived. Now all these are ways God tries to reach out to you one way or another, and try to get a response, if he can still get one, so that you become a part of his great end time army. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a part of the great end time army. Say it again. You see, you are so difficult to get a reaction to. I'm joking. You cannot even speak. Praise the Lord. That's a joke. But I want you to see yourself as, when God stands there, he says that if there's something which we want to do, I have my guy there, Kableta. I just have to have a way of slipping it through to him. And he's going to handle it. Or my guy there, Abraham. I know he's there waiting to hear from me. If I tell him to do this, he's going to stand up and run. Now, man, that is powerful. That's powerful. Like, that is the that is the beginning of your progress. Amen? He will just slip something small to you, and you go and do it. Then you hear it has opened doors for something big. Then when you're there, it comes and tells you another, now, okay, also this one. He can tell it to you through a word, maybe from somebody, or through the other ways that I've mentioned. Praise the Lord. That is the beginning of your real, real progress. Let me read one more scripture. It's in 1 John chapter 2. I don't know which verse. But it says, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. Now, you first keep it there. I want you to know that little children is these are different spiritual levels. He's not talking about natural little children. He's writing to a mature church. But the little children in the church, like the ones whom he saw, anyway, I write to you, little children, but that's what it was, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. That's the beginning of where you start, where you know my sins are forgiven. Now, that's the level of little children. Then he goes ahead to say, I write to you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. Now, the known here, actually, the known that he writes here is the known, you have known him, is the same known that is used when a man knows his wife. In other words, you are intimate. I write to you, fathers, because you have an intimate relationship with him. Amen? The trouble is that there are people who want to be fathers, but they don't have an intimate relationship with him. They have not known, okay, known the father. And it's interesting that I just discovered something some time ago, that when Abraham was believing God for a child, the first time he addressed God as father, then God said, now you are going to, this time next year, you'll be nursing. Before then, he addressed him in other things. Okay? I am, and all that. Actually, I am was Moses so many years later. But even Yahweh was also later. Yahweh is, say, but a different name. But anyway, so you are fathers because you have known him. You have an intimate relationship with him. Then says, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now, have you ever seen going to churches where they are always talking about the devil and what? Eh? They are little children, they are not yet young men. There are three devils he's talking about here. Little children, young men, and fathers. Eh? Now, what shows that you are a little children is when, number one, you're still fighting with the devil all the time. Eh? Stand again, again. Some guy told me that they were staying on a Muzigo. And then one man went and got saved. Muzigo. Then one guy went and got saved. And then he went and got those teachings. Eh? Now all the night the guy would be fighting with the devil. Start again. So now when people came to preach the gospel to the other people on the Muzigo, they said, onomusajja yalinga yebaka before he got saved. Now when he got saved, he's always with the devil. The devil is always there with him. Eh? He's fighting with the devil. Can you imagine how twisted the gospel is? Eh? That they make it look like when, before you were saved, you were okay. Now when you're saved, the devil is there with you always. Eh? That is now, but now you see those as our little children. But now when you understand that you have, not that you will overcome, that you have overcome the wicked one. Now you're young men. Okay? Now, after that, then you have an intimate relationship with him. That is, you know, you've known him who is from before, then you become fathers. Praise the Lord. The problem with this spiritual system is there are so many little children who are fathers. And there are so many teenage pregnancies. People who have not yet had an intimate relationship with him, and they want to be fathers. And he musumba. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh. And look at the guy who wants to make me. I remember there's a guy who came and they want to own you. Eh? And then you look at the guy and say, that you want to be my spiritual father. Then you laugh, man. Eh? And you really see a baby wants to have what? Has to have children. Teenage pregnancies. Anyway. Mazi. Hallelujah. Today is a public holiday, so we go and, you know, is it too late to go to Namgongo? There is a shrine here at Shadondo, but it's like the other UN shrine, which Alfred, so be careful. Anyway, today is a good day, isn't it? Hallelujah. And it's going to be a good weekend, isn't it? Say amen.
Amen.
And God is going to speak to you tonight, isn't he?
Amen.
And you are going to respond, aren't you?
Amen.
And you are not going to harden your heart, are you?
No, I'm not.
Yes. Say, I respond.
I respond.
To the voice of God.
Now
I tell you, some of you say, I don't hear it. Because you don't respond to it. If somebody speaks to you and you're looking at him like this, is he going to continue speaking to you? So you will listen, you will hear his voice frequently when you learn how to respond to it all the time. Then it will always be there because he knows that you respond. Praise the Lord. Say, I will hear the voice of God. And I will respond. I will not harden my heart. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That was The Watchman. Join us at our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa, Kampala. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, You can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King is coming.